content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include coaching costs outpace revenue at NC State and UNC, and what's the big deal about Wegmans? Fans and employees tell us as Raleigh's hiring begins. And we'll begin with coaching costs outpace revenue. As recently as the 2013-14 fiscal year, the $150,000 mark in annual compensation was still something of a milestone for coaches in most sports at UNC Chapel Hill and NC State. Football, men's and women's basketball, and baseball coaches had long surpassed that number by then, but coaches in the majority of non-revenue sports at both schools made less than $150,000. That has changed during the past 5 years, a period of media rights-fueled financial growth that shows no sign of slowing and may well accelerate after the launch in August of the ACC network. 5 years ago, at the end of the 2013-14 fiscal year, head coaches in 15 sports at UNC and NC State received more than $150,000 in annual compensation, including salary, benefits, and bonuses. By the end of the most recent full fiscal year, last June, head coaches of 32 teams at UNC and NC State made more than $150,000 annually in full compensation. At UNC, coaching compensation, including those for assistant coaches, increased by 39.1% in the past 5 years. At NC State, it grew by 28%. At both schools, the state's only two public institutions in the ACC, the growth in coaching compensation is outpacing even the considerable growth in revenue, which continues to push athletic department budgets at major conference schools to record levels. UNC last month reported a record $104.6 million in athletic department revenue during the 2018 fiscal year. NC State, meanwhile, reported $88 million. The numbers are detailed in the school's most recent operating and capital financial data report, which is submitted annually to the NCAA. The details are illuminating yet hardly surprising to those who might criticize big money college sports. While revenue continues to increase, so too do the way schools find to spend the money, with rising coaching compensation leading athletic department expenses at both schools. I do think it's a challenge for our industry, Bubba Cunningham, the UNC athletic director, said during a recent interview, speaking about never-ending increases in expenses, particularly in coaching compensation. And I think it's been particularly acute at North Carolina. At both NC State and UNC, athletic department revenue has grown by approximately 25% during the past 5 years. Expenses during that span have soared too, with a 22.7% increase at UNC and a 33.6% increase at NC State. Scholarship costs are among the greatest expenses, and they've increased by 44% at NC State and by 34% at UNC since 2014. No expense, though, is greater than that of compensation for coaches. During the 2013-14 fiscal year, UNC paid $13.6 million in coaching salaries, benefits, and bonuses. That number grew to nearly $19 million during the 2017-18 fiscal year. At NC State, money directed towards coaching compensation went from $14.4 million 5 years ago to $18.4 million in 2018. Cost in collegiate athletics have risen substantially, Debbie Yao, the NC State Athletic Director, said in a statement. But we believe we've maximized a budget that remains in the fourth quartile nationally among Power Five conferences, while achieving first quintile competitive results. UNC State continues to carefully monitor and measure financial trends in our enterprise while exercising fiscal responsibility within the framework of our campus. As much as athletic department revenue has increased at UNC and NC State, both schools trail by a wide margin the wealthiest schools in the country. Texas and Texas A&M both generate more than $200 million in athletic revenue, according to USA Today, which keeps a national database of schools' revenue and expense data. USA Today has not yet updated the database to include the 2017-18 fiscal year, but during the previous year, 28 schools reported revenues greater than UNC's latest figure, and 43 schools reported revenues greater than the revenue NC State reported last month. So while UNC and NC State are making more money, both face a significant challenge in closing the revenue disparity with their richest peers. And next, what's the big deal about Wegmans? Fans and employees tell us as Raleigh hiring begins. The buildings at the Midtown East Shopping Center on Wake Forest Road are going up. Employees are being hired and trained, and Wegmans fans across the Triangle are more excited than ever about the new Raleigh grocery store scheduled to open this fall. So, what's the big fuss over Wegmans? We talked to Wegmans fans, a former Wegmans employee, and a Wegmans store manager to learn all we could about the grocery store with a cult-like following. Jane Fowler and her partner, Ann Steinley, are firmly in the fan category. They moved to Cary from Silver Spring, Maryland 2 years ago, where they had five Wegmans stores within a 20-minute drive in any direction. I would say, hey, I'm off tomorrow. Let's go to Wegmans and have lunch at the Burger Bar and do our shopping and have fun, Fowler said in a phone interview on Tuesday. One of our friends lives in Charlottesville, Virginia, and every time we go north, we make it so that somewhere along the way we can go to Wegmans, she said. As she spoke on the phone, Fowler opened kitchen cabinets and listed some of the Wegmans house brand products she stocks up on when they go. Olive oil, jams, balsamic vinegar, chips, sugar-free biscotti, gluten-free products, laundry detergent. Their Wegmans love doesn't come strictly from a food snob place either. Fowler also touts the affordability. When we moved here and went to Harris Teeter and thought, oh my God, if I'm going to go broke if we have to shop here, Fowler said. Fowler says she currently splits her shopping between Aldi, Harris Teeter, Trader Joe's, and an occasional trip to Costco. Publix, she said, is way too expensive, and if I'm going to spend that much money, I'm going to go to Whole Foods. The store on Wake Forest Road is the first of five Wegmans stores announced for the Triangle. There are two coming to Cary, one to Wake Forest and one to Chapel Hill, and the company is making a big push to lure workers. An 8-page now hiring pamphlet landed in mailboxes across the area several weeks ago, and Hallie Johnston, manager of the Wake Forest Road store, said the company has already received more than 3,000 applications. Johnson credits the company's reputation as a great place to work. Last year, Fortune and Great Place to Work ranked Wegmans number 2 on the list of best workplaces for women. Many people start as part-time and it becomes their career, Johnson said in an interview at the Wegmans temporary office on Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh this week. Johnson started as a cashier at Wegmans in Erie, Pennsylvania on her 16th birthday and has been with the company for 25 years. Our philosophy is that if you treat employees great, they'll treat customers great, she said. The store on Wake Forest Road will hire about 470 employees, and about 150 of them will be full-time. The company offers full benefits, including medical and dental insurance, 401k, plus a separate Wegmans retirement plan, paid time off and tuition assistance to full-time employees and part-time employees averaging 30 hours a week. You can apply at jobs.wegmans.com. We're looking to hire a diverse group of folks from all ages and backgrounds, Johnson said. They have gotten applications from some former employees for Kroger, which closed its Triangle stores last year, and applicants from other grocery stores as well, Johnson said. Those not hired at the Raleigh store will have opportunities at other Wegmans stores set to open in Cary, Wake Forest, and Chapel Hill. Johnson said she is looking for people who have experience in specialty areas like sushi preparation or floral arranging, but experience isn't necessary for most positions. The company offers in-depth training of its hires, and most of that takes place inside other working Wegmans stores. Most full-time employees for Raleigh are paid to travel to the Richmond store for training in food production, safety standards, preparation of Wegman recipes, and more. But the emphasis will be on finding employees who love people and love food, Johnson said. If there's a values match, we can teach everything else. Grocery store loyalties are fierce, and shopping habits can be hard to break. Shoppers here grieved when the last Piggly Wiggly left the area, and again last year when Kroger closed its Triangle stores. Before Trader Joe's entered the market, local residents would gather shopping lists from friends and neighbors and make pilgrimages to Virginia, returning with SUVs loaded with two-buck chuck and triple ginger snaps. But the argument the uninitiated hear over and over is that Wegmans is just different. People keep asking me why I'm so excited, and I tell them it's hard to put into words, Ford told us. You just have to go, and when they open and walk around and experience it, it's like all the grocery stores down here combined into one, but throw in a restaurant and a bar. Just scroll through the comments on any Facebook post about a new Wegmans store opening and feel assaulted by the love. No, not good, totally awesome. Dana, it's the Disney of grocery stores. Just you wait. Greatest store ever. Wegmans will make you unable to shop elsewhere. As far as I'm concerned, we'll never have enough Wegmans here. Pulling hard for a Greensboro store, but I'll likely make the trek to Cary occasionally to shop there. It's that good. Fans praise the food quality, the prices, the customer service, the variety, the food court. Oh, yes, the food court. There is a food hall-type atmosphere, Johnson said. Families tell us the whole family can find what they like and be happy with their meal. Some of Wegmans' selling points, bread baked fresh daily, fresh seafood, take-home meals, have become standard at other grocery stores. Other features still stand out, such as an elaborate cheese shop with cave-ripened cheeses and a bakery that uses natural coloring in its frosting. Their house brands, say Johnson and the Wegmans shoppers we talked to, are on par with the national brands. It's a good bet that no matter how good that Wegmans mayonnaise tastes, that many local shoppers will be scanning the aisles for the Yellow Duke's label. Don't worry, said Johnson. The Rochester, New York-based company knows when it moves into a new region that shoppers have certain expectations. We will offer local produce and local products, Johnson said. We learned a lot going into Richmond as far as products like Duke's Mayo and Cheerwine. We've done extensive research on local products. Something Johnson concedes that local shoppers will have to adjust to is the store's lack of advertising or weekly specials, an approach used by most other local stores. Instead, Johnson said, the store sets consistently low prices. Instead of weekly flyers, there's a magazine customers can get in the mail if they sign up for the Wegmans Shoppers Club card. The magazine, called Menu, arrives 4 times a year and is filled with recipes, tips, and food and product features. There's a Wegmans app that allows shoppers to clip digital coupons. As for manufacturers' coupons, the store will double them up to 99 cents. Locally, Harris Teeter and Lowe's Foods also double coupons with a face value of up to 99 cents and routinely have special super doubles events for which coupons $2 and under are doubled. Many Wegmans stores have pharmacies, but the Raleigh store will not. The store will offer home delivery through Instacart, which should be available the first week if it's open. Whether Wegmans becomes the local grocery disruptor or not remains to be seen, but it's a safe bet that opening week will be crazy. Store manager Johnson said there's typically a line around the building on opening day. Fowler said she and her partner are eager for the store to open, but she isn't sure she wants to brave the crowd right away. And we'll probably go the first week, and I'll probably wait for the honeymoon to be over, Fowler said. And next, companies promoting use of telemedicine services. Walmart workers can now see a doctor for only $4. The catch? It has to be a virtual visit. The retail giant recently rolled back the $40 price on telemedicine, becoming the latest big company to nudge employees toward a high-tech way to get diagnosed and treated remotely. But patients have been slow to embrace virtual care. 80% of mid-size and large U.S. companies offered telemedicine services to their workers last year, up from 18% in 2014, according to the consultant Mercer. Only 8% of eligible employees used telemedicine at least once in 2017. Most recently, the figures show. There's an awful lot of effort right now focused on educating the consumer that there's a better way, said Jason Gorovic, CEO of telemedicine provider Teladoc Health. Widespread smartphone use, looser regulations, and employer enthusiasm are helping to expand access to telemedicine, where patients interact with doctors and nurses from afar, often through a secure video connection. Supporters say virtual visits make it easier for patients to see a therapist or quickly find help for ailments that aren't emergencies. But many still fall back to going to the doctor's office when they're sick. Healthcare experts have long said that changing behavior can be hard. In telemedicine's case, patients might learn about it from their employer and then forget about it by the time they need care a few months later. Plus, emotions can complicate healthcare decisions, said Mercer's Beth Umlin. My little kid is sick. I want them to have the best of care right away. And for some people, that might not register as a telemedicine call, she said. Some patients, especially older ones, also just prefer an in-person visit. Going to the doctor's office is a big event in their life and something they look forward to, said Jeffrey Boyce, CEO of Insight Telepsychiatry, which provides virtual mental health services. Tom Hill is among that crowd. The 66-year-old from Morrisville, Indiana, said he's never used telemedicine and has no plans to. I believe in a handshake and looking a guy in the eye, said Hill during a recent shopping break at a downtown Indianapolis mall. I don't buy anything online either, but the practice does gain fans once patients try it. Julie Guerrero-Getch has opened her MD Live telemedicine app several times since first using it about a year ago to get help for a sinus infection. The Fallon, Nevada resident was skeptical, but she didn't have time to go in person. MD Live connected her to a doctor soon after she opened the app. She said he started asking questions about symptoms just as if I was sitting in a doctor's office and prescribed an antibiotic. Caitlin Powers tried telemedicine recently after hearing about it through a friend. The Columbia University graduate student was feeling stuffed up and worried she might be coming down with the flu. She said her appointment started on time, lasted 10 minutes, and she spoke by video with a doctor in Florida while never leaving her Brooklyn apartment. As a student, I don't really have time to spend 3 hours waiting to see a doctor, and this was so easy, she said. Doctors have used telemedicine for years to monitor patients or reach those in remote locations. Now, more employers are encouraging people covered under their health plans to seek care virtually for several reasons. Telemedicine can reduce time spent away from the job, and it can also cost half the price of a doctor's visit, which might top $100 for someone with a high deductible plan. However, those savings can be negated if telemedicine's convenience causes people to overuse it. Walmart said it cut the cost for virtual visits to give another care option to the more than 1 million people covered by its health benefits. Employers aren't the only ones pushing the technology. The drugstore chain CVS Health and Walgreens are promoting apps that let customers connect to doctors. Some insurers, like Oscar Health, are offering it for free to customers as a first line of treatment. Ease of use is one of the reasons researchers and telemedicine providers think the practice will become more widespread in several areas of care. Those include dermatology and follow-up doctor visits after a surgery or medical procedure. Mental health visits are another area ripe for virtual care because patients can feel more comfortable talking to a therapist in their own home, said Boyce of Insight Telepsychiatry, which delivers mental health care in about 30 states. Boyce said people also like the anonymity of a virtual visit. Mental health visits were the most common use of telemedicine by patients until primary care overtook that specialty a few years ago. Harvard's Dr. Ativ Mehrotra and other researchers found in a recent study of claims data from a large insurer. Research firm IHS Markit estimates that telemedicine visits in the U.S. will soar from 23 million in 2017 to 105 million by 2022. But even then, they will probably amount to only about one out of every 10 doctor visits, said senior analyst Rowene Roshan. And next, states would get free hand to allow legal markets with pot bill. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden proposed legislation Friday that would give states a free hand to allow legal cannabis markets without the threat of federal criminal intervention, the latest push in Congress to bolster the nation's burgeoning pot industry. The proposal, identical to a bill in the House, aims to ease the long-standing conflict between states where cannabis is legal in some form and the U.S. government, which categorizes marijuana as a dangerous illegal drug similar to LSD or heroin. The federal prohibition of marijuana is wrong, plain and simple, Wyden, a Democrat, said in a statement. Too many lives have been wasted and too many economic opportunities have been missed. It remains unclear if Wyden's bill would have a chance of clearing the Republican-controlled Senate. The Democratic majority in the House appears more open to considering proposals to ease federal restrictions on marijuana. The chamber has set a hearing next week on a bill intended to make banking services more widely available for pot companies. A proposal similar to Wyden's previously languished in the Senate and House. However, Representative Errol Blumenauer, an Oregon Democrat carrying the current bill in the House, said voters have elected the most pro-cannabis Congress in American history. It's tough to see how things will shake out, but there is a very serious chance cannabis policy will reform and will move in the Senate, said Morgan Fox of the National Cannabis Industry Association. Most Americans live in states where pot can be legally purchased for medical or recreational use, and the move to loosen federal restrictions on marijuana came as the issue has played into the emerging 2020 presidential campaign. The proposal would take marijuana off the federal controlled substance list and remove federal criminal penalties for individuals and businesses acting in compliance with state marijuana laws. It would also reduce barriers for legal marijuana businesses to get access to banking. And next, three more charter schools will open in fall. Three more charter schools have been approved to open this fall, including a private school that will make the conversion to becoming a public school after having survived the past few years with the help of North Carolina's voucher program. The State Board of Education unanimously gave approval Thursday to Team CFA Community Public Charter in Gaston County, Hopgood Charter Academy in Halifax County, and Pocasin Innovative Charter in Washington County. The approval for Hopgood marks the second time in the past 2 years that state leaders have allowed a private school to become a charter school. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until